sing in the darkest night.
In the darkest night, when all my fears take hold, I am surrounded by your love, a love that will never let me go.
Good morning. Let's worship the Lord. Please stand if you're able. Who knows God is able? No guitar. God is able. He will never fail. He is Almighty God. Greater than all we see. Greater than all we have. He has done great. Lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able in his name. We overcome for the Lord. Our God is able. God is with us, God is on our side, He will make a way. Far above all we know, far above all we hope, He has done great things. Lift it up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able in His name. We overcome for the Lord, our God is able. God is with us, He will go. raised to life. Our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able. For the Lord, our God is able.
Been doing a series called My Big Mouth, right? And so as we've been doing that, we've had several, and last week I announced that we were doing today on lying. All right, you guys didn't get excited about that one. We're about lying, and it was great. Adriana came up to me and said, I know the perfect song, If We're Honest. And so she's singing with us today, and we're glad to have Adriana here with us.
Person uses 16,000 words per day. That's a lot of big mouths. But what's behind all those little words? There are words that build up and words that destroy. There are words that unite and words that divide. Do your words matter? Is anyone even listening? Or are they just words? Big Mouth, where we will learn the big impact of our little words. Big Mouth.
All right, since we're talking about lying,
I could blame the sound crew for my guitar not being on, but it's my fault. I had the guitar turned down. So anyway, see, I'm telling the truth, right? Everybody, you notice when anything goes wrong in the sound, that's the only time people look at the sound booth. Like that, but they do a great job every week, so thanks to everybody who runs in and out of there. If you don't pay attention to them, that's because they're doing a great job, so thank you all for doing that. All right, so let's go now to our prayer time, if you will. I had some other prayers listed here, if I can locate them. There they are. A couple of them, we have Joanne asked for prayers for her sister-in-law, Luann Bedwell Nieves, I believe, and she passed on and to be with her family as she went on to be with the Lord. Bob Ward asked for prayers for Connor Ward. Connor's going to have surgery on August the 4th, and so we're going to lift him up in prayers. It's your grandson, correct? All right. And Joanna and Ron, thank you for the prayers and praises. Leg's healing well. She was doing laps around the church. Thought she had a Pentecostal leg that they gave her, but there you go. So, Ron's sister Michelle may need some back surgery, so we're going to pray for her. Thank you, God, for the church. And also prayers for Joe Cox. Joe and I have been friends he was at the first church I ever served 25-plus years ago. And Joe is in the hospital. He had a heart attack, and he is having a test scheduled. Talked to him last night. He's typical Joe in great spirits and joking around a little bit, but we're thankful that he's in the right place, and they're going to do some more tests tomorrow, and we'll find out more there. And pray for Martina, his wife, as well. Chad Wilcox asked for prayers for his Aunt Lorene as she suffered a stroke and is in the hospital. Also pray for Lou Show. Lou is in the hospital Christiana. He called yesterday, and he is planning to go home with a life vest and from the hospital, and so he's hoping everything goes well, and then they will probably put in a defibrillator with his pacemaker in a few weeks. So pray for him. Pray for me tomorrow. I have a meeting at 9 a.m., so I ask for your prayers there. And for Jeanette, she asked for prayers for Tuesday for God's leading in that meeting and everything come out in a great way. All right? So any other prayers, if you missed those, by all means, put them on our, you can put them on our Facebook, or primarily you can send it to our prayer list. There, yes, Judy. Oh, yes, Roger McCardle, he was on our prayer list. He did pass away, so continue to lift him and his family and friends in your prayers as well. All right? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We give you thanks for who you are in spite of who we are. And so, God, as we come here today and we worship your name, there are several other prayer requests that we lifted up today for people within our own church, Joe and Lou, who are dealing with heart issues, that are in the hospital, for those who have experienced loss, Luann Bedwell Nieves, her family, as well as Roger McCardle's, for Chad's aunt, Lorene, for Jeanette, who's asking for guidance, for me, who's looking for you to do exactly what we said, that you're able, be able in all things, God, for Connor, who's facing surgery, and for Ron's sister Michelle, that may, for all these and other prayers, we give you thanks that even though we are just lifting them up to you now, God, you are already working those things out and making a way. For that, we give you praise for who you are. And for the remainder of this time, God, we are doing this series, My Big Mouth, and we all have one. And so help us to resist the temptation to point to someone else's big mouth, but let us look at ours and really take ownership of that and recognize that our words have the power of life and death, and that, God, we pray that we may be life givers with our mouths. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. All right, a couple other announcements that we do have. Youth group is meeting every week, every Sunday, immediately following the worship service. They're going to be meeting today, and they're having the Go Ape Sunday, August 8th, immediately after church, and the final count is needed by the 18th, and you can contact Jen in person, or you can contact her at youth@havencc.org for details. Two other things, Paris Foundation, a couple other things. Paris Foundation should be dropped off this Sunday, July 18th. How are we doing? We good? Kathy, we good with Paris Foundation? No, that's all right. You're reading. She was in prayer. At least she didn't call me this week. Thanks, Jill. in case you missed it, Jill called me during prayer time last week. But anyway. They should be dropped off today between 4 and 4:15 at the Paris Foundation. Yes. Yeah. Kathy, right there. Here we go. I'll sit down. You guys want to go? Okay. So right there, you too. All right, you guys are good. All right, Kathy, raise your hand. Because a lot of people, there's Kathy. If you ever want to have any question about Paris Foundation, there you go. All right, hey, it's not my service, it's his. Also, we have a couple different things with our Stephen ministers. They are always available. If you're going through a time and you just need somebody to go through life and journey with you, Stephen Ministry is definitely available to help you and to be there with you. So they are there and available. In connection with that, beginning in July 25th at 6:30, they are going to begin loss of a spouse. If you have a death of a loved one or you know someone who does, your life may be changed forever. So these are some of the things they're going to deal with. And then beginning in August, on August 9th through November the 8th, is Grief Share. Anybody who's been through any kind of grief, isn't just death, it's a loss of relationship, loss of jobs, loss of all kinds of things. We all deal with grief in different ways. Correct. Anybody know somebody who deals with grief by just being overly like shot out of a cannon? Anybody deals with it by eating? Anybody deals with it by not eating? Okay. Anybody deals with it by closing up and you know keeping everybody away from you? We all deal with grief in different ways, and if we don't deal with that properly, it can become really bad. So, Grief Share has been one of our most successful ministries that we do here. So, if you'd like to, please connect with Grief Share there, all right? And keep the others in prayer. One of the other people that I wanted to lift in prayer is Pastor Hugues Pierre in Haiti, and he is an amazing man of God. I mean, he's become a very good friend, and I got a chance to call him and talk to him this week, and just pray for him. He is so positive about his wife that she's moved on, is going to be in heaven with the Lord. But in the midst of that, he has his own personal loss. Anybody who knows, she was his backbone, his right hand. And one of the sad things was, we take for granted, although we complain a lot about going to doctor's offices and sitting, we complain a lot about waiting. Anybody been to the emergency room and waited? But for the most part, you get seen. One of the things that he shared with me is he took his wife to two different places and they wouldn't see her. And she basically died in his arms. And so we take for granted a lot of the things that we have here. So we need to be thankful that we have opportunities to have healing administered in those ways where many people who we love don't have those opportunities. So continue to lift him and Olivier. Olivier is 7 years old now. And so continue to lift him in your prayers as well. Okay? Everybody good? All right. So we're going to move on today. And we are going to talk about lying, and I'm not lying. We are going to talk about lying today. This is the third part of our series. So I'm going to start today by telling on myself. Okay, I'm going to tell a little bit of myself. One time I got a text from someone. And some of you may have heard some of this before, but I'm going to go more in depth. The text, and the person was like, "How you doing?" I said, "Good." And I hadn't heard from the person in a long while, probably a year. The last time I heard from them was when they had a fundraiser. So this person, who had promised like a lot of different things, I went ahead and they texted me, "How am I doing?" I said, "Okay." And then they decided to tell me, "Hey, that's good to hear how you're doing. I was wondering how you're doing. By the way, we have this fundraiser. I wonder if you and your wife and some others would like to come." And okay, so I said, I was mad, and I decided to text Melissa. And I said, "Look at what so-and-so sent me. Are you freaking kidding me?" But I didn't send it to Melissa. I sent it to the person who sent the text to me. Yeah, right? To which I got a response, "Did you mean to send this back to me?" To which I decided to lie like a banshee. And I said, "I sent two different texts. It sent back to you. Melissa, I sent one to Melissa and one to you. Melissa just woke up," and I blamed it on the kids. Sorry, kids, forgive me. I said, "One of our kids said something to her that was really mean and nasty," and I responded with, "Are you freaking kidding me? Sorry, you know I love you to death." Was that good or what? And guess what? I am a liar. All right. Anybody ever done that? Oh, yeah. What is it about like that? You got to watch that text thing, right? It just pops that other one back in there. You're like, all right. So anyway, that was one that I thought of. I got plenty more in my life. But what is it? It's amazing the things that we lie about. How many of you would say that you have lied in the last 24 hours? Raise your hands. Go ahead. Raise them. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Look around you. The ones who don't have their hands up, they're lying. Okay? So, because I'm going to tell you, the odds are that you are lying. What studies show is that we lie, the average person lies on the average of four times a day. Four times a day. A University of Massachusetts, UMass study, said that 60% of people cannot meet a new person and not have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. So the sermon today is going to be 9 minutes, so you know I'm not lying in a sermon online. It'll be a series of 9-minute conversations, all right? Why do we lie? I mean, how do you think God feels about lying? Let's start there. How do you feel that God feels about lying? So let's start with how God feels, and let's look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. It says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." God detests lying. He rejoices and delights in when we tell the truth. The Hebrew word that is translated as detest comes from the word toeba. And it means this: something disgusting. It makes an abhorrence or an abomination. It means that it makes one nauseous. So how does God feel about when we lie? It makes God nauseous. Makes him want to vomit. Aren't you glad we're a bunch of liars? Make God throw up. And that he detests lying. He hates it to the core. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, "Since you heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Watch what Paul says here. "Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body." You like that? I got some neighbors down here who have been lying to each other, so they're going through some confession. They're in the end of my sermon right now. But anyway, so, I mean, these are some of the things that we have. Melinda, will you put the bulletin back up there again in case anybody wants to get the QR code? I forgot to mention that today. You can just put your camera up there and get that. I want to make sure you have that. You know, what Paul tells us as we're you're getting that, what Paul tells us is this, that our old nature, since before we knew Christ, is just riddled with all kinds of stuff. And one of those things it's riddled with is lies. And Paul just says, stop lying. Just stop lying. I'm one of those people who, like, if you ask my kids, what are the things that I can't stand? They would always say, there's two things, and I always share this with classes and anybody else. Two things I always just really hated. I hate lying and I hate disrespect. Those two things. You know, I'd much rather you come up and tell me, like if it was a school, you say, "Hey, I just was lazy and I didn't get it." I said, "All right, go ahead. We'll make it work. That's your one pass there." Rather than you come up, "My dog ate my homework, but it was on the computer. It was really hungry," you know. So, I mean, those are things, that's where I kind of am. So it's like an old Southern preacher once said, he used to say it, and I'll try my best Southern preacher voice, "You may never know. You may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies." That's pretty good, wasn't it? All right, so, but you may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. Why? Because here, let's look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is speaking of the devil, and he says this: "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is," how much truth? "No truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So perhaps that's why when we lie, it makes God want to vomit. Because it just makes him sick when we lie, because our spiritual enemy, the devil, The prince of darkness, the great deceiver, his number one weapon is to lie, and his native language is lying. So we speak Satanese when we go ahead and lie. It's pretty much what we're doing. And so it makes God say, ah. And when we talk about the truth is not just a concept. For us, it is a person. It is a he, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why there is no truth in the devil. And so when he said there's no truth in him, the devil is a liar. Jesus is the truth, and the truth sets us free. And so Satan uses lies to take us out of the freedom of God's truth. So I want to show you briefly today what I believe is Satan, our enemy's three-point plan when it comes to lying. And, like, in other words, what is his how does he speak his native language and coerce us away from the truth of Christ in order to go ahead and lie? So what he wants to do is he wants you to do three things. The first one is this. I believe Satan wants you to lie. He wants you to lie. The foundation of you starting to speak any language is beginning by speaking it, correct? Right? If I remember, one of the first words in Spanish I learned was hola, correct? Okay, I did some more there, but I don't use it much anymore, so I don't need to. But you learn some of the basic ways to speak the language. How many of you would consider yourself to be a good liar? Anybody? Okay. How many of you would consider yourself to be a good liar? You know why? Because you've had practice. Okay. Just to let you know. How many of you are bad liars? Okay. I remember Jacob, our oldest, when he was little, we would catch him in something, and I'd say, Jacob, did you do this? And he'd go. Right? He pulled his head back out. And I'm like, you're lying. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are, because you're going like this. I mean, I knew that he was lying, right? Parents, you know it. Am I correct? And so we have those different tells of things that we have in our life. So what we find out is he wants to get us to begin to speak his native language. And then what happens, like any other language, we become good at it. We learn more. We learn the nuances of lying. We can, even when we send a text directed at somebody else, we can spin doctor that sucker right around and look good in the midst of those things. So there's several different ways we can lie. Like, some of us can exaggerate a story to make ourselves look better. Anybody who's ever been fishing, man, I caught this fish. It was like, and you see the picture is like, like that big. We learn how to exaggerate things in life. That's one of yours. Cheating on a test. Lying about where you were. No, I was at my friend's house. That was a heck of a lot easier in my day before you had Life 360 and Find a Friends, right, parents? Remember when you'd leave and you would not, nobody knew where you were. And you're like, I was at my friend Glenn's house. You sure? Yeah. And you weren't. You were somewhere else. Those things, you would do that a lot. What about something that is really, really big in today's culture? Making up something about someone that you don't like or someone you don't like and figure it may be true. And if you ever want to start passing something around, now we put something on social media. That means it's the gospel truth. Okay? Or telling partial truths. Like, you're not telling everything, but you're just telling the story in a way that makes you look better. Like, for instance, when you say, and I said to her, you ain't going to talk to me like that anymore. And I pulled her aside and said, I'm going to take you out if you do it again. And I went and I jumped up at her like this, and she ran and went, ah! And you say, did you really say that to that 6-foot, 200-pound person? And like, yeah, I did. Well, maybe a little bit like that. We always tell something to make us look a little bit better. And, you know, like, some of you have family stories that as they get told, they get bigger. You know what I mean? They have more stuff to them, and they get more grandiose the more you hear from them, and it happens time and time again. It's exaggerating. It's amazing how, because of our, basically, let's call it what it is, our sinful nature, we choose to speak Satan's language, Satanese, and lie about things. I wish I could sit here and tell you I never do this, but I started the service by telling you I have done it and do it. But it's shocking to me, like, on how, just on some of the most basic weird things, it won't matter the occasion, that I'll find myself speaking the devil's language to make something a little bit better. for me, I think. So, like, for instance, after years of school, by the time I finished my grad school and seminary, I had been in school for like 26, I was 26 years old, and I figured I had been in school for like 21 or 22 years. I was tired of school. You know, I was just tired of the whole thing. And one of the things I've always hated in every area of school, whether it was elementary all the way up to grad school, was orientations. I despise them with a passion. Anybody been to an orientation? Doesn't it just drive you crazy? I just hate everything about it. I don't know what it does to me. So I went up to this orientation, and we were supposed to be there all night, and I did not want to be there. This is for seminary, just so you know. Yeah. And I sat there for a while, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I went up to the person who, one of the people was like, I said, I am so sorry. I got to go visit somebody in the hospital. I mean, I figured there was a hospital on the way I could stop. See, I'm making that partial truth. I'm like, maybe I should stop at a hospital. And, oh, they're going, darn. You know, but I just couldn't be there. So For seminary, I made a way to get out of orientation. I was going to be a pastor, in case you don't know what that means. And so, anyway, that's just part of some of the things that we do in life. And I don't know why, because we speak that. It's like an average of four times a day we speak the devil's native language. And so what does he get us to do, first of all? He gets us to lie. Isn't it funny how that starts at a very early age? Like, you don't even have to teach kids to lie. They just do it. Like, they could have chocolate all over their mouth. Did you eat that candy bar? You sure? They did. I mean, it's a baby sitting there going, you know, they just do. It's just something that happens, all right? So that's number one. First thing he does is gets us to lie. The second thing is, and this is where it starts to make a transition. The devil tries to get you to lie, but then he gets you to lie to yourself. Okay? Not just to others, but to yourself about you know, what we do. So you start to, what do you start to do? You know it's a lie, but then you start to rationalize it. And occasionally you might even double down on your lies. Like, you throw one lie out there and somebody asks a question, and you throw another one in there to make it happen. And you throw another one, and meanwhile you're spending all your time to make the lie happen, that you forget it's a lie, that you actually believe it, and you're actually making stuff happen all around it. Anybody else done this? Okay, it just kind of happens time and time again. Before long, you start to believe the lies, and you start to work to cover them up, and it just happens, even to the point where you begin to rationalize your own acts. You begin to say, well, I know, yeah, but it's not that bad, or it's not that big of a deal. I can quit anytime. I'm not hurting anybody. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. It's not mine. It's because of you. It's because of you. Because of you. Because of them. Not me. And what happens is we're not only lying to others, but we begin to lie to ourselves. There's a great biblical example of this in one of my favorite people in Scripture, King David. What a great study in personality. A guy who was, as a kid, was kind of forgotten about, except by God. And he was hanging out with sheep and fighting off. I mean, he was a bad young dude. I mean, he would grab a lion by the mane and just like, boom, smack him. He's either crazy or just really a bad dude, you know? And he did that. And then when everybody else was scared of Goliath, he goes down and grabs some stones from a brook and whips them around, whack, and goes, "I'm not my battle. God's going to take it." And then he's, "I'm going to cut your head off." He's talking to like some 9-foot guy. Like, "I am going to cut your head off." He's like, "Yeah, right." And that's what happened. And so David became this great warrior. And because of that, he also became this great king. And he was known as a man after God's own heart. But David, one night, he was supposed to be in battle, and he wasn't. And he was hanging out in his house, and he was up on the roof. And he looked over and he saw a woman named Bathsheba. And she was taking a bath. They don't mix up. Bath means daughter, not something else. So he's looking, he says, he didn't go, oh, he went, yoo-hoo. And he went, "Servants, go get her for me." Went and got her and slept with her. She got pregnant. But the extra problem was, she was married to a guy named Uriah. And he was at battle where David should have been. So David decided to say, okay, I know what I'll do. He brings him back and he says, hey, I'm so glad you're son of a great warrior. Here, have some wine. And he got him drunk and tried to send him home. Go home to your wife. And he was so drunk, he fell asleep and stayed outside. He said, I'm not going in, not when my men are out there fighting. So David said, now what I do? So David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put him on the front lines, knowing he was going to be killed. And he was killed. And then David, being the good guy for everybody else, said, you know what? I will take Uriah's wife as my own and raise the child as my own, even though it was his. Okay? So one day, Nathan the prophet came in, and he's sitting there talking, and he said, hey, King David, can I tell you a story? He's like, sure, sure, go ahead. He said, once upon a time, there was a very rich and very, very powerful man. He had all kinds of flocks, herds, animals, more than you can ever imagine. And he had this, there was this one man who was very, very poor, and he had this little lamb. This little lamb he loved so much. It was like a member of the family. The kids would sleep with it, and they ate by the table, and they caressed it and loved it and everything. And one time there was a visitor to the king's palace. And this man came hungry, and the king said, hey, you know what? The very rich and powerful man said, hey, give me that little lamb of that man's that he loved so much, and let's kill it and eat it. And before Nathan even got the story done, David jumped up, and he was so furious. And the scripture tells us he burned with anger and said, that man must be killed. And then one of the most amazing things ever is Nathan looked at David and said, Ata Ish, you are the man. You are the man. And at that, David broke. Some of us today, because we've been lying so much to ourselves, God may be looking at us and going, Ata Ish or Ata Isha, you are the man or you are the woman. That you've been fooling yourself too long. Don't beat yourself up about it, but get back to the truth, and that will set you free. You see, we deceived ourselves so much that we're apart from what God has intended for us and his truth. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants us to begin to speak his native language. He's the father of lies, so there's no truth in him. So he wants us to start to lie. And then he wants to convince us to even speak lies even in our own life so that he can take away the truth of God. And that's what he wants to do. So he wants to have us lie, wants us to lie to ourselves. And the third masterpiece in Satan's arsenal is this, is when he gets you not only to speak a lie and to believe a lie, but to live a lie. To live a lie. To claim one thing, to be something, and to be something totally different. Now, obviously, this is not all of us, but it is unquestionably some of us at some point in time. It could be that you show the perfect life on Instagram, that everything is perfect. Look, here's my new kicks. Here's my vacation. Here's my new car. Here's my new suit. But inside, you are so lonely and battling depression and feelings of meaningless every single day of your life. And that's the truth. You may be a Pinterest mom. And everything matches perfectly. You make stuff. You're like the MacGyver of the home, you know, and you make that happen. Everything looks perfect, but inside, you are feeling lonely and desperate and uncomfortably depressed. Maybe when you're in a group of your friends or in a small group, everyone thinks you have the perfect marriage and the perfect family. You act the part and you look the part, but when you go home, you barely acknowledge each other. There are those of you right now that you may be feeling a little bit uncomfortable as the Holy Spirit begins to say, Ata Ish or Ata Isha. See, the devil wants to tell us lies and have us believe our own lies, but ultimately he wants us to live a lie. One of my greatest fears that I think in this is that I recognize Satan is a great deceiver. And I'm really, one of the things I really am afraid of, and sometimes I just think about time and time again, that there are many who are deceived into believing that you are a Christian when you may not really be one at all. But you go to church every now and then, you're not Muslim, you're not Buddhist, you're not Jewish, you're not Hare Krishna, so you say, must be a Christian. I mean, I'm an American, and that kind of goes along hand in hand. But when you really look at your life, there's no evidence of spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control, or there's nothing really different from the world at all. That keeps me concerned to the core of my heart. And that's why in 1 John, John says this. Here, 1 John chapter 2, he says this. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a what? Liar. And the truth is not in that person. Remember the previous verse about Satan is a liar and there is no truth in him? For when we lie, that truth is not in us as well. Keep going. Here we go. Next verse. There we go. If we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, that's the promise. If we have our sins, hey, I'm going to tell you the most unsecret in the world in Christendom. God already knows what you've done. So you're not going to shock him. You know, like there's some things that I've done in my life that if I share with you, you'd be like, what? You're probably still like, he lied to get a seminary? He told somebody to take, you're still dealing with that. Guess what? God is saying, let me tell you, that's the least Jack has done. Because he knows. And so it's not as much I confess my sins for God, but for me. Because when I confess what God already knows, he says, now the truth is there. And the truth is that through my son, you have forgiveness. And with that, you're free from that. And so that's what he says. And I'm not only freed, but I am purified. You know how many people that have lived lives so rough, so broken, so addicted, so frustrated, that feel that they can't come to God because there's no way God would ever love them because they are so filthy and dirty? Here's the promise that you need to see. He already knows the life you live. Go to him and say, I did it. I'm sorry that I did it. And he says, guess what? I forgive you, and guess what? You don't have to say you're that anymore because I'm cleaning you up. And that's where he lives. That's where he lives right there. Purifies us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that an amazing promise that God gives us? Whoever says, I know God. Whoever says, we know God and we love God. The reason why I'm so aware of these things is because, you know, this is a struggle not only for someone who's here, but for me as well. If we look back and we say that, you know, if we go back and say that the person is the liar and there's no truth in them, if we look at that, so many that we look at that have been in churches would check off a box that they're Christian, but maybe not really be following Jesus. Maybe not obedient to Christ. We talked about no spiritual fruit. And that is honestly one of my greatest fears. Some will say, hey, I'm not a bad person. I'm okay. But it's the truth in you. You see, the devil's native language is to lie. So why do we lie? Let's get beneath the surface. Some of us lie to do different things. Some of us lie to protect feelings. Somebody works all day, has their hair did, comes all down and says, how do I look? And you go, yeah, you look good. Right? You always have the one person in the family who's like, what in the world did you do with your hair? Okay. All right. So we have some of this. So some of us lie to protect feelings. Others, we lie to make ourselves feel better. Okay? We lie to ourselves to make ourselves feel better. And others lie to cover our own tracks. So we tell lies for different reasons. But why is it? What is the core of why we lie? Because when we recognize the core reason of why we lie, then we can bring up the truth and find healing. And here's a statement, and the answer that I actually believe is true for most of us is this. The main reason, here it is, the main reason most of us lie is because we do not completely trust God. And that's the main reason why we, like, for instance, if something got out and we confessed that, we'd say, well, maybe he's not going to forgive us and purify us from that. Maybe I don't trust him in this area. Or maybe we care too much about what other people think than what God thinks. And so we struggle with that. But ultimately, we don't completely trust God. We believe the lie. Or we work with the lie. And we tend to think that the lie will keep me safe. But really what the lie does, it starts to weigh us down, doesn't it? And then we begin to cover up. It's like putting on stacks of weights. You know, you're lifting one and you put another one on before you know it. You're weighed down. But we're not safe because what we're basing our life on is a series of lies. And it's just like that game Jenga waiting to fall over. We may think that the lie is going to lead to avoiding conflict. But the truth is, sometimes the best relationships, and I'm going to tell you, the best relationships are those that know how to deal with conflict and still have a relationship and still have love in the midst of truth. For instance, has anybody, let me ask you, who's been married here? Who's married? Everybody married, right? Have you ever had a moment, let's say really early on, where they wanted your opinion and you knew if you gave it, it was going to be a really bad day? Anyone? How many of you lied? Okay. How many of you, as you got further on, it got better and then you could just say, I just don't like that. And they're like, okay, and they ignore you and they go to your kids, right? I mean, like, Melissa would come down and she could wear a sack and I think she looks beautiful and be fine. But she comes downstairs, she goes, what do you think of this? And when we're dating, I'd be like, you look great. You look nice. Nice, gentlemen, nice is not equal nice what we think. Nice for us is awesome, let's go, correct? Nice for them is like, not good enough, correct? And so I mean, this was something, so I would get, so she'd come down, I'd say, oh, you look fantastic. She'd, you're lying. So we go, I mean, I couldn't win. So the best thing that ever happened was when we had kids and we had girls. I said, ask Emmigail. Ask Rachel. Do you like this? No. And like, okay, ask Hannah. Yeah. And so they go through that. I'm off the hook now. It's wonderful. Because there was a time where I could just say, yeah. She'd be like, oh, you know, it just happened. So many times. But the best, we have had 25 years of good, bad, and indifferent, and conflicts. And the best things that we've been able to do is to be able to say what we need to say. Sometimes it's nasty, blah, 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 we get it out. And then we're like, okay, you want to go get something to eat? You know? Because the little things don't matter anymore because we know ultimately the relationship is there and you can work through the stuff. But if we built 25 years on lie after lie after lie after after lie, what we have is a relationship built on the foundation of lies, which is a house of cards, which is about ready to fall down. And so I believe that's how many of us make so many relationships in our lives. So the breakdown is this. Who is the devil? He's the father of lies. His native language is lying or Satanese. His greatest tool is to deceive us away from the truth. And we believe the truth is a person in Jesus. And the truth, as Jesus said in John 8:32, and you know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you know the truth, it will set you free. Lies bring bondage. Truth brings freedom. Lies bring bondage and truth brings freedom. And Satan wants you to tell a lie, wants you to believe the lie, and wants you to live the lie ultimately. Jesus wants you to walk in truth, experience the truth, and recognize that the truth allows you to walk in freedom. Satan has a plan to get you to lie, to get you to believe a lie, and to get you to live a life that is a lie. God has a plan, and it's simple, and it's powerful, and it's freeing, that we confess for forgiveness to God, and we confess to people for healing. That is what we do. Once again, let's go to the scripture in 1 John 1:9, where it says, once again, if we confess our sins, God, he is faithful. So we confess. This is like if you confess it, God gives us. It's an if then. So if we confess it, God is saying, boom, right here. So if I said to you, if you give me a candy bar, I'll give you $1 million. How many of you candy bars are you going to be bringing me right away? If that is a promise that is true and that is there. So this is what happens. So if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us. Two really good things there. So in other words, what he does is he forgives us. Okay, awesome, I forgive you. But purifying, he just forgets it. Now, I don't know about you, but even in my interpersonal relationships, somebody may forgive me, but it just takes the next argument or two for me to realize they did not forget it. Right? So here's how it is with God. God, I did this. I'm so sorry. I just really am repentant. I'm sorry. And he says, hey, I forgive you, Jack. And guess what? I've forgotten. I purified you from that poop. And then I come back to him. I said, God, you know, I messed up. And I'm sorry, like the last time. And he's like, what about the last time? What are you talking about? I don't even know. We're actually told that when we bring those back, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Because God's always forgiven it and forgotten about it. So when we lie, we cause God to get vomity. And when we bring the sin back, we grieve him. So if you don't want to grieve God, don't lie and don't bring something back that he's already forgiven and purified you from. That's a good deal. So I love this, that when we confess to God, he cleanses and forgives us. He separates our sin as far as the east is to the west. He doesn't hold them against us. He forgets it. We confess to God, not for his sake, but for our sake and our freedom. But that's only a portion of what we do. And there's many people that just stop here. God, I ask for your forgiveness. But that's not the whole picture of everything. So we confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to others for healing. James chapter 5, verse 16, here's what it says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So, confess to God for what? Forgiveness, forgetting, purification. Confess to others for healing. Okay. We're really good at the first part, I think. Not so good at the other ones. Now, I am not saying you come into church and somebody says, hey, how you doing? Well, let me tell you, I snorted a whole bag of Coke last night. Not what I'm saying. All right? That's why I'm so happy. Yeah, okay, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am telling you, you need some people in your life to say, guess what? I messed up and I got caught back into it. You need those people in your life. Because if you're the only person in your life who knows your secrets, you're doomed. If you're the only person who knows your secrets, you're standing on quicksand and you're gonna fall. Amen. Right? You need some people in your lives who you can say, guess what? I'm going to tell you this. And they're not going to go, ah. They're going to go, really? Come on, Jack. I get it. Hey, man, I love you. You know that. I have some friends that I have shared things with. And one of the most awesome responses that I got from some of them, there's about three or four people in my life that for years are people that I can just, boom, I can hit them with anything. And they say, all right. But they won't just accept me. They'll say, hey, have you confessed it to God? I said, yeah. And they say, now listen, I'm going to tell you this. I am going to love you regardless of what you do. No matter what you do, you're my friend. You're my best friend. You're my brother. But you need to pull your head out of it, and they give me an orifice that I need to pull my head off. Because I need that. And you do too. You do too. The problem is, when I start to speak Satan's language is when I get in trouble. When those people in my life who I know who love me and who love me unconditionally, where I say, well, I can't say something to them. And let me tell you, one of the greatest tools is, because when you when you're a pastor, when you're in a position of public, you're so afraid of something, somebody believing something that's not true about you. And there's enough out there. Just hang out there. You'll hear it after a while. And you get so worried about that that you don't want to tell people the real stuff. So you get in a place. What I have learned over the last year particularly and over the last several months is that having the people in my life that I can just say, hey, here's what this is. Here's what happened. That they can say, we got this. Regardless of what happens, we got this. And God's got this. And that's what you need in life. That's what you need. We need to confess to God for forgiveness and cleansing, and we need to find those people who are in our lives that we confess to so that we can, that will pray with us, that we can be healed. We can be healed. This is, I'm going to tell you, this is what small group ministry is supposed to be about. I don't care whether you're bowling. If you're bowling and you find people that you connect with, you don't always have to say, let's say a prayer before I grab the ball. No, you don't always have to do that. But what you have to do is do life together. And you have to recognize that the church has for years has been speaking Satan's language so much that we get to, how are you, brother? Yeah, good, sister. Yeah. Wait, meanwhile, our lives are a wreck and we have nobody in the body of Christ that we can just say, my life stinks and I've done this. And we wonder why we have churches full of people who are not healed, because we aren't confessing to each other for prayer and healing. That's where healing takes place, where we share those. And where some of you are right now, you are carrying a lie. You may be living a lie. You may be believe and living a life of lies in your day in and day out. How does that feel? You probably feel oppressed. You probably feel guilty. You probably feel fear. And what would it be like to wake up one day and say, I've got no secrets. I'm completely free. I've been forgiven, and I'm healed. You see, Satan is a liar. When he lies, he speaks, and when we lie, we speak Satanese. We believe the lies, and we ultimately live a lie, and when we confess to God, he forgives you, and when we confess to others, we find healing. The devil wants you to lie, which leads to bondage. God wants us to find the truth in Jesus, and the truth sets us free. I can tell you, over years and years of ministry, I have said, and I have been on the other side of people who have come to a time where they needed to confess something. And they said, I talked to God, and they came to me, and they said something. And there was something that one just comes to mind. It was a pretty major thing. And they were waiting for me to come at them with all kinds of dogma and just boom, boom. And were they sinning? Yeah. Were they off? Yeah. Were they covering up lies? Yeah. Were they lying to others and to themselves and living a lie? Yeah. And at that moment, it's one that I can think of. I looked at the person and said, hey, I want to tell you, number one, God loves you and so do I. Amen. So where do you want to go from here? Because this is your life in Christ, not mine. But I'm going to let you know, nothing you do will ever change the fact that I love you, and nothing you do will ever change the fact that you have a God who loves you. And that person responded to me later and said, I have never had anybody in my life, because I was so riddled with this sin, with this weight on my shoulders, that I'm so grateful to God and to you. I didn't do anything but just love somebody unconditionally. That's why Jesus said, love him and love others as yourself. The truth will set you free. Amen? All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out today's service as I get a drink here real quick. We come to you today, and I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that God, you would unleash your truth. Unleash your truth in our souls, that we will have the courage, God, to confess and admit when we've lied, when we've sinned, when we strayed against you. And God, we thank you that you will forgive us. And we thank you that you will purify us and you will forget what we even lifted up to you. And God, that I pray that for all of us who may have that seeking forgiveness thing down from you, that we'll take it a step further. That some of us have been struggling and dealing with something that may have been for years. But God, that we will learn to not only seek forgiveness from you, but that we'll confess to one another. And God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do this week, where there's true and appropriate confession, and God, that you'll bring healing because of your grace. For those who would say, you know, I recognize because of my fallen nature that, God, I don't always tell the truth. But that today you say, I want to be a truth teller. I want to tell the truth. I want the truth to dwell in me. I want to live as a person of truth. And I hope that's for all of you. And we all say, yes, that's who I want to be. So, Father, I thank you today for your Holy Spirit, that it's working, that he's working in us. And God, I thank you that the truth sets us free. And I pray, God, that every single time we're tempted to tell a lie, we're tempted to justify something, we're tempted to exaggerate, that God, you would go ahead and have us pause and just remember that we're not going to speak the enemy's language, Satanese. We're going to say, I want truth, and that's going to set us free. Renew our minds with truth. Help us walk in truth and help us to represent your truth, God. Help us to experience your truth because we know the truth. And his name is Jesus. For those who may be living a lie, I pray that, Lord, you would lead them to the appropriate people in the right context to open up and to get real and to find healing in your son, Jesus. Give them courage. God, for those who may be on the receiving end of a confession, I pray, God, that there may be grace, that there may be forgiveness and healing. Just as, God, you have forgiven us, may we do the same and display that grace to so many others. So as we continue to pray today, this may be some of you that you're just had to take a look and you're becoming aware and you're asking the question, am I a Christian? I mean, I've said I am for years and I was raised in the church, but is there any evidence? Like if I was on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? I have head knowledge about Jesus, but my heart's never been transformed by his grace. But something's happening today that's drawing me closer to the things of God. You may not even know what that is, but I'm to tell you it's the truth and the love of God and his loving Holy Spirit that is reaching out to you, drawing you, pulling you in, luring you closer to him. So often in life, we spend time thinking we need to clean up first. We need to get better first. No, you just come to Jesus exactly as you are, recognizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the Son of the living God, who is born and lived a life without sin, a perfect life. And he became sin for us on the cross. He died in our place for the forgiveness of our sins and rose again. Why? So that anyone, and this includes you and me, who could call on his name will be saved. Every sin that you and I have committed has been forgiven by our God. The old is gone and the new has come. And for those of you who need to recognize his grace, you're not here by accident. You're not watching online by accident. You are here because Jesus wants to meet you here right now in this place. So just say to Jesus, Jesus, I surrender to you. I trust my life to you. And Heavenly Father, I give my life just as it is. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, the truth, make me new. Fill me with your Spirit so I can know you, that I can follow you, and I can live for you. Help me walk in truth, speak truth, to show your truth. My life is not my own, and today I give it to you. Thank you for the new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing song today.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply call, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. To you, Jesus, I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. Coming back to you, Jesus, I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. Coming back to you.
Amen. Next week will be our last week of the series, and I want to tell you about this person. It's about gossip. I'll talk to you next week. You guys all leaned in. It was really funny.